Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. What would you have to let go of? What would you have to give up, surrender, lose interest in for the karma not to be maintained? The obvious answer is ego, but what aspect of ego? Aral, what do you see? Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. It's Sarah in Iowa City.
Hey. Hello, Sarah. What you seeing?
You can hear me okay, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, it's really been amazing. I've sort of been on cloud nine since I heard that conversation with Risa a couple of days ago about, because it just opened my eyes to what karma is and how it functions, and I just have seen so much about, you know, what it is and what needs to be dropped, which is the assignment from yesterday. The way it looked, it was like it's a set of beliefs that we either come in with or picked up in the home that we assume are true, but they run counter to the truth of life. You know, so like one of the ones, like I can think of ones that I think would be true for my parents, and some of which I've absorbed and some not. But, you know, like my mom said it, you know, once, like, life is unfair, and the sooner you know that, the better off you are. You know, you just, like, feel the weight of that, you know? It's just, you know, like, it's just awful. It's like putting a yoke around someone and saying, like, okay, now go be miserable. And, you know, I think my dad, the one that I more identify with, is this idea that you can do something wrong and it'll have really dire consequences. So,
yeah. Yeah, you can make a mistake and pay for it. Your whole life will be ruined.
Yeah, which is what's happening. But in a sense, yeah, I mean, for my dad, I could really understand, you know, like his mother died when he was very young and he felt responsible for it. And I, like, picked up that karma and run with it with my own life content.
The point that you're making is a really good one. I don't want to go past it. As you mentioned, some of it we just go, yeah, whatever, right? Because it doesn't resonate, even though they're our parents. We just don't go along with it, which speaks to the karma aspect, right? And then there's the ego aspect of it, right? And so what we do with this, so we're trying to make sense of the world, right? And once we get to our conclusions, which happen for most people really young, then what ego does throughout a lifetime is look for evidence of that. Project it and look for evidence, which, of course, you're going to see if you're projecting it, right? And then it confirms it. Yeah, I mean, it's really true. It is unfair. It really is.
And it's
go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's going all the time with that in the background,
yes,
going, is this
right.
proof of it? Is it not? Is it proof? Is it
That's
not?
Right.
Is it? Yeah, well,
yep.
Maybe
see?
Not.
See?
You know, like,
I told you.
You can be in, like, right, and it's like this creepy shadow that's kind of following me around and saying, like, is this the mistake that's going to blow everything up, or is it going to be another one? You know, or is it, did you say the right thing or not? And is it going to, like, is it, and it's just like, you're frightened. Like, it's like, wait, what could I do? How bad is it going to be? But it's always like this amorphous thing. You don't know. Yeah.
That's right. And the other thing that tells us that this is ego's work is that it's using the past, referencing the past to predict the future. Right?
Mm.
So that happened, and that's proof. And so you can be pretty sure that kind of thing is going to happen again. Because, see, it happened once, and so you need to really be careful going forward, and you need to watch out for this going forward because it happened. So you know it's going to, and that's ego's deal, right?
Right.
Never be here where life is actually happening. Be in the past, be in the future, be in regret, be in fear. That's ego's deal. Yeah.
Right.
All right.
Just the last piece of it. Well, can I just say one other thing about it? Just that the idea that it's what really helped me so much in that call that I heard was the idea that it's a lie at the root of it.
Yes.
So, like, one
exactly.
of the ones, the stories for me is you can do something that's going to get you excluded from whatever, a
yes.
group, a work
yes.
situation. It doesn't matter. And then it's like, well, but you can't be excluded. It can't. You're part of the whole. Like, it is not. It's impossible to, you know. So all this, like, mental machination over it can't. It's psychotic almost.
Yes, it is. But here's what you've caught on to, okay? Ego is excluded, and it wants to be. It is an illusion of being outside of life. You, authentic human being, of course cannot be excluded. You're an expression of life. That's not even possible.
Right.
But ego
wants
to be excluded, and again, is looking for the evidence, looking for proof.
Okay, so that's just another one. That's another karmic bamboozle of, like, I'm looking for proof. It's the circle, the whole
that's
crazy
right.
cycle.
But the important piece of it is, particularly with that one, is that ego is actually talking about its deal, right? It's talking about not belonging, excluded, isolated, abandoned, invisible. Okay, that's its deal. That's where it wants to be, and it wants you to be there with it.
Okay. It wants. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Oh, big, huh?
Thank you.
Thank
this
you.
Is wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're happy.
Thanks, Sarah. It is so wonderful to recognize karma for what it is, right, Cherry? Which is what I heard in that conversation, the clarity that it's a set of beliefs through which there's an attempt to perceive the world. And the mechanism that you pointed out is it's always using the past to predict the future. And so it actually has to exist outside of the present, because the present doesn't figure in that equation. And so central belief that Sarah talked about, that life is unfair, is the false premise, because life simply is. Now, the unfair part of it is added on from that perspective of beliefs. But unless you have the orientation of what's fair and what's unfair and what's miserable and what's not, there's the ability to be with it how it is and not separate from it, from which the isolation feels real or appears real, because we're simply identified with a process that is isolation or separation.
Not because any of it is actually real.
Yes.
So with this assignment, it's really so perfect, because that's what we need to let go is the belief that what we hear in our head is real, is true, right? Yeah. And for each one of us, wherever we are in our practice right now, that might be a particular belief or assumption, right? It's not going to be the process is the same for all of us, but the specific, that the way that ego is playing this out right now for each one of us is going to be ours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So one other quick thing. In the email class, I find myself saying to people, I try not to do it until it just becomes the only thing I say, but isn't that good to see? Mm. Isn't that good to see? And I was right there with Sarah, because my goodness gracious, isn't that good to see? And you could hear in her voice that she's in agreement. That's really good to see, right? But as we were talking about it, I thought, well, maybe it's not a bad thing that we say it over and over and over again, because that's the orientation we're trying to get to with awareness practice. Right? Mm-hmm. This, it's really good to see how this is happening. If we don't, if we're not happy and excited to see how this is happening, that same process is going to turn our insight into something it can use against us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that part of the process of awakening is to be glad or joyful about the awareness that informs us about the process of suffering.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And because that's what helps us get clearer and clearer that that's a process. We call it egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate because it's a thing, mm-hmm. and it's not us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that to me, when you were saying that, the ultimate false premise is I am ego.
Yes, yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so then, and the assignment takes us hopefully away from that. You know, mm-hmm. okay, then what about me do I need to drop?
Yeah.
Which is where ego would like to have us. No. It's an aspect of ego that we are letting go.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Laura from San Diego.
Hello, Laura.
Hey. So much. Seen so much. This morning has been a really powerful just workshop in that it just feels like the email class, the forever workshop, the year-long retreat, and just spending time at the monastery, all of it's coming together and just like 1-2 punches to the whole ego system. And in meditation this morning, watching, like really practicing whatever emotion was coming up, it's like a shedding away of ego, rather than it's this human's emotional experience.
Uh-huh.
Does that make
sense?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Because you had enough distance to be able to see the difference. Yeah.
Maybe a gap, but there was the distance,
mm-hmm.
which
mm-hmm.
was super powerful. And then as I was doing, I was getting caught up. I was a couple days. I'm not even going to say I was behind. I got caught up with the
assignments. There were things you didn't take care of while you were at the monastery. There were things in your life at home that you didn't take care of while you were at the monastery, which, good to catch, ego would point out as behind and a reason for you now to have to be stressful.
Yes, there's another word we can throw out.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so I was doing the assignment, and I was doing I had started the What's True About You recording, and then I'd forgotten about it, and I came back to it, and I did it again this morning. And what I saw was there's a place in one of the assignments where it talks about be really intentional about keeping the focus on this month's focus work. And I was mm-hmm. watching how it was, the recording was becoming about, you know, everything else, which is not wrong. It just, I brought it back to work, and I got to see, it was just really helpful to have the boundary of the focus of, yes, but how does that apply here?
Yes, 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 which is, again, another process that is really important to point out, right? Ego wants to dilute our focus.
Mm.
So one of the things that we're seeing in, that we see particularly in the world of politics, and especially currently, is, well, what about? Okay?
Mm.
So you've just, you know, you've just done something, and somebody calls you on it, and you say, well, what about that? And it actually has nothing to do with what we're talking about, right? But it's meant to take the attention, distract it, dilute the point that's being made, and just confuse everything. And you just watched ego try to do that to you.
Yes, and so then it was so subtle because it can feel like, and it's, again, it's not that it's bad to do that. It's just I don't get the experience of bringing the focus to this aspect of what we're looking at.
That's right. And you could even say, well, yes, and boy, as soon as we have a minute, we're going to look at that. But right now, it's kind of like being with a child in that case, right? Well, yeah, that would be really fun to do. But right now, what we're doing is homework.
Sherry, what I just saw is that's another aspect I have to give up, that that distractibility.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, when I was writing out what do I have to give up, the big one that just really, the karma is this, I mean, in really subtle terms, I'm a loser and I've just fooled the world. And so, so that core, and so really getting to the root of the lie, how it applies to how it gets orchestrated towards this human.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really appreciate the focus on like, yes, but how does it show up in this human life?
In work. Yeah, in this human
right,
life
in work,
and
in
and
work.
In work. Yeah.
Right.
Oh,
in
that's
work.
So good,
and,
isn't it? Yeah. Because, of course, what I want to say is, then if it's working, then maybe people aren't fooled. What if people aren't fooled? Because it's such a disgusting lie.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying with that? Yeah. I mean, you have achieved success, right?
Mm.
So it can't get you with that. So it has to say, well, yeah, it's because you duped everybody. If they really knew who you were, then you would probably be living on the streets. So don't feel good about what you've accomplished, because it's all a big fraud.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
And that other piece of what I have to give up is, in some places, there's enough freedom to ask questions, and in other places, it's not. And so, thank you for checking that out, because I was, but I actually didn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's another one.
Mm. And Laura, the biggest argument you've made for all of us today. So, whatever it is that we have wanted to do in life, if we make it. Once in a while when I feel like it and it works out and it's easy and everything comes together, I'll do it. Those are not even, those don't even become hobbies, okay?
Right.
And so if it's something we really want, then we find out ways to put more and more and more of ourselves into that, which is what you just described in the beginning of this call. Right, you just got back from the monastery. You're doing the forever retreat. You're doing the year-long retreat. You're doing the email class. The ego is going to say, you don't have time for all of that. You have a family. You have a full-time job, right? And what we have to do then is let go, exactly as you're saying, let go of what ego is doing to us to distract us from our focus, so that we do have the time and energy to do the things that speak to our heart.
Well, and when I'm not listening to that conversation, the energy is there.
Through the roof.
The openings. It doesn't take an hour of my time. It took 8 minutes. You know,
that's exactly right.
That's
exactly
so
it.
Being here.
It's the whole secret. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Go happy.
Thanks, Laura. Sherry, the thing that was so struck me about it, and it's sort of something that is so helpful to all of us, is that by asking that question of what about, or how about this, or whatever else, is how conditioning or the conditioning stops us from looking at what is there to look at for us.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So we're never allowed, if there's always something I can be distracted by in the guise of a helpful, this is also true, shouldn't you be looking at it? What I'm robbed of is looking at what is given to me to look at. And so
right now.
Right now. Part of what we're looking at in this retreat is this assignment for this focus today.
Yeah.
To have the discipline to be able to see what I see about this assignment is a way of training myself not to let ego dictate what I look at or don't look at and rob me of seeing what I am supposed to see, because I've committed to the process of seeing within the structure.
Yeah. Oh, God, that's so important. And, one of the things, as you lay that out, that I'm aware of through doing this with folks for all these months, is that that the moving away from the, well, I didn't do the assignment because I'm behind because, and I feel bad because I've, you know, it, not doing that. And what people have moved to increasingly is, okay, I didn't do the last six assignments. I'll go back and do them. I'm committing to going back and doing them. But right now we're doing this one. And this is the one that I'm going to focus on because this is where we are, which is, I think, an example of what you're, a good example of what you're saying.
Right, because the attention then focuses on processing resistance, which is an ego place, rather than being able to drop that and just look at, how am I doing the assignment now?
Yeah, this one.
What is arriving?
Right now, this one we're on.
Yes, exactly so. Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
The unmuting.
Hi, this is Carol in San Francisco.
Hello, Carol.
Hi, great. So looking at work, urgency is a big one. I'm very sold on the idea that if I speed up and, you know, take this seriously, I'll get there. We'll get the work done. And, and so yesterday when I went to work, there was, well, I am. So I got there, it was like, this is the worst depression that you've ever had today. It's horrible. And so I noticed that, but it's not true. It doesn't have to be true. Like you were just saying,
right.
It's the feeling, but it didn't have to be true, you know?
Exactly
it just was
right.
Like, okay, what's it like in this minute? So I get there, and, you know, I work with a population of folks that are pretty unpredictable and, like, a lot of variables. So I get there, and there's this, quote, unmanageable problem. What are we going to do? And it's kind of on me to figure it out. And urgency wanted to kick in because it was a genuine problem. The time bomb was ticking for this person, a health thing, and somebody's going to have to come up for a solution before night. So a couple of things dropped in. Well, I could go self-sacrificial, you know, don't worry about me. I'll drop everybody here, these two buildings, and go down and try to take care of this. You know, it was like, no, let's not do that. We've done, you know what that leads to. You know that self-sacrificing doesn't work. So the time is ticking. More, I got about 25 people there that, you know, have their little things that need to be dealt with. But this one is a health issue that's going to be pretty bad by the night if we don't get it. So the administration calls me, and they're talking to me, like, what are we going to do? And it dropped in because I was practicing being present in this moment here, regardless if I feel depressed or it's not a fun moment. It's like, why can't I just be here with this phone call? So I said, you know what?
Wow.
I don't know. I know. I said, I don't know what we're going to do, which is a very new activity and behavior because I am told that I have to know.
And I
need to know. It's unsolvable. Yeah. People dump the community, people that have problems, onto us. And they tell us, you know, oh, it's all been solved, it's all been taken care of, and it's not. And this guy's in a health issue that's going to get very bad in a couple of hours. So, but I was like, you know, I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do. I'll have to get back to you on that. And then the people from the other building came over, and they're like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I said, I don't know. I'm just working through this over here, and I'll be over in a minute. Because what was happening is it's like being pulled. You're being pulled, not by people, but I'm getting pulled into the belly of the beast. First the jaws, my feet are in the jaws, and I'm starting to get hot and prickly, and now the stories are starting, you know, like, oh, my God. You know, and it's not even about that stuff out there. It's about me. You're going into depression. You're going down. And and it's like, oh, this.
You can't handle this. You can't do it. And you just need to try harder. You just need to. The stress is building. I'm right there.
Yeah. And what I noticed is you can pull out of the jaws by by not fighting, by just going, oh, what did I remember? What am I hearing? Everything's fine. That's what my recordings say. Everything's fine. You're doing great. I hear that on mm-hmm. these talks, you know. So I make the recordings. Oh, okay, everything's fine. Nature, trees, and I'm out of the jaws. And it was like a tug of war. I was there into the night, you know, and it was just like, okay, next thing. All right, what's next? This feels like, oh, this is out of control. Okay. But there's this thing that happens. It's not just the words of a mentor. It was like, wait a minute, there's, I don't mean to sound spooky, but there's a presence here, you know, with me. I'm not saying like a ghost or something, but a feeling
no,
of.
No, you can feel the intelligence it animates.
I could feel a substance,
that.
And I usually just mm-hmm. go, oh, because it takes a lot, for me anyway, it takes a lot of persistence to just mm-hmm. keep coming back even when I don't feel like it and keep doing those recordings, the right and left hand. I usually don't believe the left hand, but it said something to me. It was like, you're doing great. You're a brave girl. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, mm-hmm. for that moment,
mm-hmm.
it went in. And it was yeah. like, oh, that must be what this feels like to be about four and have a parent say that to you and you take it in and you move forward from there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of
so, Carol,
cool thing, you know?
It sounds like what you're practicing, not just contemplating, but practicing letting go is a relationship with those voices in the head. Because whether they're telling
oh,
you you're
yes.
depressed or they're telling you you have to be urgent or they're telling you you need to know the answer to something that you right now don't know the answer to, or you need to be responsible for all of these people who are saying, well, what are we going to do? Well, what are we going to do? You're letting go of all of that in order to direct attention to presence. And of course, presence, we could say that's the feeling you felt. That's what's there, right? And that's what
yeah,
you're with.
Yeah.
That mentoring presence, and one foot in front of the other. What now? What now? What now? What now? Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a synergistic thing of the calls, of the all the practice support, because it you know,
yes.
you look around,
yes.
it's like a 2-year-old looking around, is mom here, you know, is the support
right.
here, you know?
Right. That's right.
And oh, or it pops in, it's like, oh yeah. Okay, I'm making a choice for presence. That's right. I remember. I'm making a choice for presence. I'm choosing to change my focus because I can.
Yeah. Yes, because we can. Because we know how to do it. And when you said that, it reminded me. I think the developmental stage is supposed to be around 2.5 or 3 or something like that, where children are learning to leave the parent to do something, but they it's really important that they can look back and see the parent is there, you know?
Exactly.
You've got me,
I'm
right?
I'm trying to think of what milestone that is. No, you're doing
yeah.
you're great.
That's
exactly that stage.
Yeah, and that's what practice is, right? Because what we're looking to is practice, right? Okay, you got me? You know, all right, if I try this, if I let go of that, part of ego, is awareness going to, okay, so everybody, Sangha, practice, am I okay? You got my back? And we do have one another's back.
Oh, in so many ways. Like I was told, you are going down. And when the night was over, I got out of there about 8:30 and, you know, I mean, just one thing after another fell into place when I was being told, you're cut off, you're going to be on your own.
Yeah.
It was like, wait a minute. I recorded so many recordings just to remember that, no, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
That we, oh, you know, we I am supported here and there and there and there and there. And it's just where my attention is. Where am I going to put
that's
my attention?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. In dire circumstance. And I don't know what was going on, obviously, with this person who was having such physical difficulties. I hope they're okay. And if I were that person and you were the person, my best hope for getting help with whatever was going on with me, I do not want you to be crazy and listening to a bunch of wacko voices in your head trying to make you urgent and hysterical, right? I don't care about it. I want you to be as present as you can possibly be, because that's the only way you're going to be able to be there for me.
Exactly. And yeah. I couldn't have come up with what the solution was. He needed a couple of kinds of insulin, and he needed them, and we couldn't get them due to a whole bunch of stuff. And there was nothing I could do about it, you know. And then some bizarre pharmacy calls and goes, we have it. And it could not have happened.
Oh,
and I'm just like, oh, it's like 4 blocks away. So
yeah.
I mean, that couldn't have happened.
Makes you cry.
Don't worry about me. I'll self-sacrifice. I'll go do this and that. That would not have happened.
Right.
But I have to get out of the way, you know, for life to, you know, drop in
miracles.
The ego to get out of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
open
thank you for that, Carol. Thank you so much. That's a beautiful inspiration for all of us to go into the day with.
Great. And thank you both so much. And Sangha,
yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah, everybody, all of us.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Carol. It reminds me of The Journey by Mary Oliver, right, Cherry? That through that dark night when the voices are calling, you have to walk through that and realize that the only person that you're going to save is this human being. And when we do that,
mm-hmm.
there's such a beautiful gift of how life takes care of all of us.
Yes. Yeah, right. In ways that we can't even imagine when we're identified with ego.
That's right. It's all up to me.
Yeah.
But that was such a beautiful illustration of practicing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
This has been a very practice-y morning, hasn't it?
I know. Practice holding us.
Yeah.
All right. So it's Friday, and our assignment for today. The karmic conversation holds the answer. However, the way the conversation is framed causes us to go to what is not so rather than what is so. For example, the conversation claims that the person giving negative feedback can never say anything positive or appreciative. What this prevents us from seeing is that the conversation in conditioned mind frames everything as negative and unappreciative. We're never meant to see that we're identified with the process of negation, and if we disidentify, what we have is simply information. Assignment, what is the answer that is revealed to you by the karmic conversation? RL, what you see.
Love practice. Just love it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you,
everybody. Go happy.
Go happy.